be. Let's give a big round of applause for
Figure4Online/WrestlingObserver.com.
Best of 2019.
You know I'm going out in West Texas. I'm going to fall down behind that rising sun. Whoa, you know I'm going out in West Texas. Poor lady going to fall down behind the rising sun. You know I'm going to ask the good Lord and the peoples. Oh Lord, what wrong have poor lightning done? Look like don't nobody want me in Houston but my little girl and
Let's just get going. Stu, one last call. You're on the air. What's going on? Drown out my crying child.
Is my connection? Hello?
Yes, what's up?
Is my connection worthwhile? Oh, this is Eric from Norway. I've been trying to call for a long time, but my connection sucks. Anyway, sorry. No, I just wanted to say, as a comment, I live in the one nation in the world where the winter is over, and this baffles me still. I've been baffled for a month. And I wanted your comment on this. There's actually a show in where he has been over. It's a very random thing, but so.
What?
I do not understand that at all.
I understood half of what you said. The winter is over?
The winter. Sorry, my accent is bad.
The Eric what?
Eric Rowan is actually over somewhere, and this baffles me.
Who's over?
Eric Rowan?
Eric Rowan, you know.
Okay.
Rowan.
Oh, the vintner. Okay, yeah, the vintner is over. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, this baffles me. I've been baffled.
Why?
For a month. I woke up the...
He's awesome.
I went to the Oslo. No, don't say that. Don't come here and lie to me on the air.
I'm not lying. I love the vintner.
Ironically, loving the winter, sure. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that anecdote in because I've been baffled for a month after I was at the Oslo house show and saw the winter being over.
The winter. Okay, I got
time, guys. Yeah, the Wintner. Sorry,
yeah, the Wintner is over. He's teaming with Daniel Bryan, and he's got an awesome beard, and I wish he lived next door to me because we'd barbecue.
He's environmentally conscious and likes to read.
Yeah.
I wonder if he'll buy your new book, Bryan.
He was more over than Bryan. That was the weird part. Like people like
that. Yeah, don't surprise me. It was in Norway.
Yes. But, like, if you go and ask people on the street, no one's going to be like, oh, yes, Rowan.
Dude, if you go on the street, no one's going to say that about anybody. A lot of people are on the street going, oh, Lacey Evans.
She's got a great character.
No, she doesn't. Yeah. In real life, she has a great character, but they don't tell you a damn thing about her. You baffled about the Vintner or the Wintner? How about being baffled about Lacey Evans? 49. Well, Granny's here on a Sunday night. What's going on, Granny? I hear you had a bad day.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was going to have a quiet day till I get a message from Bryan that says, watch wrestling.
So I ruined your day.
I watched wrestling.
No,
I didn't
Sunday.
Say that. I didn't
well,
say
you said
that.
You had a bad day, and I asked why.
Well,
you said because I messaged you.
There's more to it.
Okay. All right.
Don't interrupt, please.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So I watched it and wrote down all the stuff. So I was kind of hungry for some baby ribs. So I went to Hagen's and I had my Empress chicken and I sat there. First I went to and got the stuff before I had my chicken. And so I went to the meat department where they have cooked ribs. And I don't like the ones with so much barbecue. So I got a new brand this time. And I forgot to look at it, and I got them home, and they weren't cooked.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. So you had to bake them?
Yeah, I put them in my roaster, and guess what? Burned them to a crisp.
Oh, man, that's the worst.
Anyway, at Hagen's, I had my Embers chicken, and I took your book with me.
Wow.
And I sat there, and I read for a while, and before you know it, I was almost asleep. So I had to come home and take my nap. So that's my bad day.
Excellent review, Granny. Excellent.
So I'm just kind of jumping out of my skin for some reason.
God, I am too right now.
Brad Laguerre says, hooray! This is great news. Have a great time, Granny. That's it. Those in the comments.
We read every one of them, Granny. Everybody who participated got theirs read today.
Good.
And they'll be so happy.
And I thank them all very much.
I do, too.
I needed that.
I did, too. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. I needed that, Granny.
Why did you need it?
Well, after you buried my book as sleep-inducing.
I knew you'd say that. It would have happened to me.
What do you expect me to say?
Whatever. I just wanted you to know that I was reading your book, and I would have went to
so
sleep.
So it was a backhanded compliment. Okay.
I would have went to sleep no matter what I was reading.
Okay, I got it. You didn't say that, Granny.
That's not exactly what she said.
You didn't say that until I was bitterly hurt.
I knew you
multiple times.
I knew you would do that, too, so I had to explain.
Well, gee, I wonder why anybody would. Hey, Vinny, your new Football Outsiders book just came out.
Hey!
I fucking fell asleep.
Aww.
Chapter one.
I wrote chapter one, actually.
See? All right, what do we got?
That's Granny? It, Granny. That's the baby
yeah.
page.
Yeah, what do we got for the wrestling?
48.
So anyway, I'll just tell you because it's just freaking infuriating. So some dude got off a plane at SeaTac with the measles. And now, outbreak at North Shore School District, and the guy was at the Safeway that you and I both were at multiple times over the last God only knows how long. So, yeah.
You are right.
I am. We're all vaccinated, but it's a 97% whatever they call it. Like, it's what's the word? 97%? It's 97% effective. And my wife is pregnant. So, like...
Is that known?
No, it is now. Yeah, we're having another baby, everybody. Hey, got another kid coming in September.
Wow.
And now I got to worry. That's how the big announcement was made.
What an Easter egg.
Yeah, what an Easter egg. So, yeah, I'm furious right now.
Well, all 15 listeners will be sure to run and tell their friends.
It's just infuriating.
Oh, I'm sure. You know what?
Dude, sure we were at that Safeway today. We go to that Safeway like all the time. So, dude.
You'll be fine, Brian.
I hope so. I'm not worried about myself. I'm worried about my pregnant wife.
Listen. I've built up so many antibodies throughout the past years.
Get out of here.
That me simply stepping foot into your house.
Watch you get it.
Oh, fuck. Is that why there was those sheets on your couch?
Fuck.
47.
People seem to have really liked the Halloween Havoc reviews we did all month last month. And so I kept getting comment after comment about, man, you need to watch more stuff you hate. So I took the challenge. And I'm here today to talk about, this is Dave Meltzer's words, the worst pay-per-view in history. In fact, I think that's essentially the exact quote Dave said. Dave said in the issue of The Observer from October of 1999, the worst pay-per-view show of all time. That is a direct quote. So challenge accepted. The main event of this show is so atrocious, and there is, in fact, a spot in there that I absolutely cannot talk about with children present. So put the kids up. Let the grown folks talk for this one, because this pay-per-view actually hits a point that's so bad that profanity has to be used. There's just no other way around it. But you know, the Pope would curse on this one, probably. So here we go. October 10th, 1999. It's called Heroes of Wrestling Pay-Per-View. It's a completely independent pro wrestling group in amongst the era of WWF, WCW, ECW. Everybody's got a local independent. Well, this was just a – this was – They're using the legends of wrestling. The heroes of wrestling were told over and over. These were older stars. These were the guys who were being used regularly on the independent scene back then. All the time. You know, it was not uncommon to see every single name on this pay-per-view doing something on the independent scene. In fact, I was regularly involved with the independent scene back then. And many of these names I came across pretty regularly back then. This was what you would expect with a really, really, really loaded indie card. Okay, so because I probably had seen some version of this entire show at some point in time, I don't think I was as highly offended as Dave was, who was watching, at that point in time, I don't see how you could watch anything else other than WWE, WCW, and ECW, because there was so much, it was so hot, plus covering Japan and stuff. He probably didn't have time to go to a lot of indies. And this wasn't, you know, Guerrilla Pro Wrestling or whatever that deal is he's all about over in California. This wasn't, you know, Ring of Honor in its heyday or anything like that. These were indie shows largely packed out by people you've never heard of, with the top two or three matches being old folks who can't cut it in the major leagues no more. All right, so we go to our first match, and our ring announcer, holy moly, I didn't get his name, but it's Crisper or something or another. We'll call him Crisper Bacon for lack of a better name. You've never heard of this guy before. You've never heard of him since. But he wants to be Michael Buffer, and he wants to be Michael Buffer pretty badly. And he's in Mississippi, and so he's got to have a gimmick, right? You know, Michael Buffer had trademarked the "Let's get ready to," you know, the rest of it. I'm not going to get sued for that. And so, you know, he's got the whole deal. Even his brother has some knockoff, you know, UFC saying, like, "Let's get it on," whatever it is. I forget what the other Buffer brothers is. I don't even remember his name. It's Michael Buffer and, anyway, the other Buffer dude. Well, this dude's like, "I gotta be something cool. I'm here in Mississippi," probably from Mississippi. So his, I can't believe this is even true, but it is. Match one of the evening, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bay St. Louis Arena in a beautiful Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Ladies and gentlemen, our first match of the evening is a tag team attraction. Ladies and gentlemen, and I swear I'm not making this up, somebody's going to get their ass whooped in here. I like almost died. I was like, what? What the what? I back this up. He could not possibly say, so I back it up. Our tag team attraction of the evening. Somebody's going to get their ass whooped in here. And, of course, everybody in Mississippi, and quite frankly, I'm not just making fun of Mississippi. If this was in Alabama, everybody would have went, woo! 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 And you talking about two fat guys fighting, let me introduce you to the one-man gang. Yes, the former one-man gang, then Akeem. Prior to that, Crusher Bloomfield probably had some other name and I've forgotten, but now he's one-man gang. He's regrettably shaved his beard. Shouldn't have done that. But he's massive, and he's pretty freaking awesome. One-man gang was really kind of underrated as a fat guy fighting. His opponent, of all people, one of my most loathed individuals in the sport of professional wrestling, one Abdullah the Butcher, and he's managed by, swear to God, Honest John Cheatham. Less said about him, the better. So this is, in fact, epic fat guys fighting. One Man Gang's head is cut before the match even started. He's interviewed for a second by Michael St. James. He's got a bandage over his head. He comes to the ring, doesn't have the bandage on. I don't know if he pre-gigged himself or if he had worked on some indie show before this and got cut, but he's already cut for the match starts. Well, Abdullah would get gigged big time to start with. Hep C blood flying all over Mississippi. They're fighting. wide open. They're busting each other with a chain. Abdullah is so fat and old at this point, he really can't stand up and do much. But he can roll around and be fat. He can sit on the middle rope and be fat. He can drape one-man gang over the rope and be fat. He can be draped over the middle rope with one-man gang, hit him in the head with a chain and be fat. So, you know, he's perfectly fine in his utter blubber. His titty fat bat wings are in epic form here. He's got his red britches pulled completely up under them. God only knows, like, if you lifted those up and looked under them, what would it be hiding under there? But nevertheless, his finishing move, of course, is always, but now it's even more epic, is his titty fat elbow drop, which he uses at one point in time on One Man Gang. This goes to a no contest as they get to fighting everywhere. They're fighting outside the ring. They're fighting in the crowd. They're, like I said, Hep C infected blood slinging all over the good state of Mississippi. It's quite an epic fat guy fighting bloodbath. I mean, it's exactly what this would work. If this happened in Puerto Rico, provided, you know, One Man Gang didn't get murdered, this would have been a classic down there. They would have loved this match. So, One Man Gang, Abdullah the Butcher. I gave it 2 Hep C civil verdicts. I thought it was perfectly fine. Dave didn't like it, but Dave don't like blood fighting. And in hindsight, it was really a pretty poor idea. Okay, now an epic interview. This is our next and final clip. Then we get to the main event. The main event of all main events. Never seen. This is where things really do crash and burn. As great as the interview you just heard prior to this is, we now get Jake the Snake Roberts. One of the great famous interviews in all of wrestling. Oh, Jake is so smart. He's just got this great psychology, and he does. Jake's also drunker than a skunk. He's ain't worked out in never. He's been eating like a pig. He's wearing what appears to be sweatpants and snakeskin boots that he doesn't even bother buttoning up. Jake is an absolute train wreck of a mess here, and drunk Jake Roberts shows up to be interviewed by Michael St. John, and here is that luminous piece of audio.
Jake the Snake Roberts. He's with our man, Michael St. John.
Ladies and gentlemen, back here I have a man of legendary proportions, a man, Jake the Snake Roberts. He is a man that you all recognize. He's a legend. Come on, Jake, get on in here. The folks want to hear from you.
Well, say that, it's just, you know, you're a casino. Everybody says, well, gosh, a casino, you should gamble. Let me tell you something, Hamble. You don't want to play cards with me because I'll cheat. Okay? I cheat. You want to play 21? I got 22. You want to play blackjack? I got 2 of those, too. You want to play aces and eights? Maybe I got too many of those, too. Bottom line is this. You do not gamble with me. The only thing you should gamble is this. Listen to me. When you walk in a casino and you want to gamble, the main thing is you should realize this. To gamble, you must accept losing. I don't accept losing. And neither does Damien. Damien, my friend Damien is right here. Damien. You see Damien?
Yeah, he just stuck his head out.
Nice looking pile of snake, huh?
Oh.
You don't want to see this, do you?
Well,
let me show you something.
Yeah, that's
let me show you something. No, I tell you what, Anvil. Go ahead, Anvil. Roll the dice. Mr. Cameraman, get your ass back up here. Hello? I'm talking to you. Get the camera back up here. That is not what you need to worry about, Anvil. The bottom line is this. When the DDT comes, then the snake comes out. Worry about the DDT. 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 Think about it.
A man of his word, Jake the Snake Roberts. Back to ringside.
Now, our main event is complicated. We're supposed to have two matches on this show left. Jim the Anvil Neidhart versus Jake the Snake Roberts. And in the main event of Fat Guys Fighting 1999, King Kong Bundy versus Yokozuna. But Jim Neidhart, who is in great shape, looks just like Jim Neidhart from the Hart Foundation era. Ain't nothing wrong with Jim. He's a highlight of this here show. He's like, you know, I ain't jobbing to this drunk fool. I ain't happening. Now, let me remind you, there's no possible way I can talk about the next 1.5 matches without using vulgarity and profanity. It's just not possible because some things happen. So put the kiddies away. Let the grown folks talk a while. Let's get down to the nuts and bolts of this here spectacular 1.5 matches. You'll see what I mean. Jim Neidhart against Jake Roberts. Jim Neidhart says, I ain't jobbing to this fool. He's drunk as a skunk. Don't even know what planet he's on. You're lucky I don't kill this man in the ring with my anvil throwing arms. But they get in there, and Jake comes in. He's messing. He brings his snake out. He's got this gigantic, looks like albino python. This will be relevant later, both the albino and the python part. So he's diddling around with the bag, diddling around. He actually unties the bag enough that the snake can escape and almost does, virtually does at one point. Neidhart looks like he's just like, man, I'm just 1 second away from killing this fool. Jake then, as the match is introduced, they're getting ready to wrestle. Jake walks back to the back, just leaves. He's gone. A few seconds go by, not a long time, but a while. Neidhart's like, oh, I'm fixing to kill this idiot. So out comes Jake. He don't have a shirt on now. He looks like he has not worked out in years and has been eating nothing but Big Macs, not showering, bathing. He has on what appears to be a pair of sweatpants and laced snake skin. He still looks awful. He looks absolutely awful. He is drunk as he can be. He comes out, and I swear he walks around the edge of the ring. He sees a woman there. Now, I'm going to presume, perhaps wrongly so, that he knows this lady. I'm betting I'm probably right. He walks over, looks at her, and smiles. The grease just dripping off of him, literally the sleaziest individual you've ever seen. He grabs this woman's hands and places them directly on his own fat titties, to which he makes her squeeze his breasts while he stands there and smiles. It is disgusting. He is disgusting. And it's only downhill from here. Neidhart leaves. Neidhart's like, no, I'm out. So somebody must have met him in the back and said, look, please, for this is live on pay-per-view. You know, we'll throw in an extra six-pack for whatever, whatever you need. We'll give you the entire purse. Just please go out and save us. Well, he comes back. The snake starts escaping from the bag. They sort of wrestle at a match. Not really. But they do enough theatrics to not be utterly embarrassing. I mean, Jake is completely embarrassing, but Neidhart is managing to be professional. He's taking bumps for this clown. He's, trying. Lord bless Jim Neidhart. Neidhart had his own problems, as we all know. But in this instant, he's a champ, buddy. He's just hanging in there and letting Jake do his deal. Jake, then the snake gets out of the bag. He's about halfway out. Jake gets the snake out of the bag. He then proceeds to act like the snake is his dong and starts pleasuring himself with the snake in the middle of the ring. I am making none of this up. I apologize to everyone who had to hear that. I'm only reporting the facts. Nothing I have said is non-factual. He literally took this albino python, placed it between his legs, mimicked it being his male genitalia, and began stroking it in front of 2,000 Mississippians and however many people were watching this abomination on pay-per-view. Meanwhile, somewhere in the back, somebody said, "Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd, King Kong Bundy, please go out here and save it. Let's change this. Look, we're making an audible here. You and Yoko, we ain't having the epic Battle of the Fat Boys. We're changing this to a tag team match. King Kong Bundy, you're going to be the tag team partner of Jim Neidhart. Yokozuna, please go out there and be Jake Roberts' partner so we can have some competent people, fat though they may be, in this match." Meanwhile, Jake is laying on the mat with his snake in a pseudo-sexual embrace. He's licking it. He's kissing it. Bundy comes to the ring, and we get announced that this is now a tag team match. So, your final match of the evening and your new main event is Jim the Anvil Neidhart and King Kong Bundy against Jake the Snake Roberts and Yokozuna. Randomly out of nowhere, I can only assume they were saving this fellow for the main event of the evening, a miniature King Kong Bundy comes out. Now, I don't mean a little person. I mean a normal-sized fella who looks just like King Kong Bundy, shaved head and all, comes out. He's not given a name. Dutch Mantel goes, "I don't know who this is." Bloomberg guy goes, "I don't know who this is." But he's, I guess, the manager of King Kong Bundy. This will be important coming up. The crowd chants repeatedly at him, "Uncle Fester." Now, if you don't know who Uncle Fester is, perhaps you need to visit my website, whenitwascool.com, where we talk all about retro pop culture, including old shows like The Munsters and The Addams Family, and places you might see a character named Uncle Fester. Neidhart hits Jake with a chair shot. Now, you would think Neidhart would have beaned his head off his shoulders for this monstrosity, but he doesn't. He hits him with a couple weak chair shots. King Kong Bundy, he's like, "Nah, you've jacked this all up." He waffles the piss out of Jake Roberts with a chair. Zero cares given by King Kong Bundy. Jake lays there for a considerable period of time. At this point, I think he's either been so concussed he can't stand up, or he's so drunk he can't get up. He basically lays there. Yokozuna stands there on the ring apron, propped up. Yokozuna, bless his heart, is so fat here, he just can barely function. For whatever reason, they start stripping Jake Roberts' shoes off. They just pull his shoes off. So now you've got Jake in the ring with sweatpants and dirty socks. And you complain about WWE SmackDown, as you should. Show sucks. Bundy splashes Jake for the win, so thank God this is over with. Yoko gets the hot tag, but look, they're just trying to get out of this. Don't try to make this make sense. Miniature King Kong Bundy comes in. Now, mind you, the one thing the crowd still wants to see, even though it's obvious to anybody with two eyeballs that Jake Roberts is in bad place, they want to see the DDT. Well, guess what they didn't get? The DDT. So they drag Uncle Fester in the ring, and the crowd's chanting, "DDT, DDT." So you would think drunk Jake could slither over there in his socks and his sweatpants, drape his arm over Uncle Fester's bald head, and fall down. That's literally all that's required out of Jake Roberts. And trust me, at this point in time, he ain't got no trouble with falling down. Jake waves it off and like, "Nah, Yoko, you do your thing." Yoko's like, oh, come on, man. They want the DDT. But Jake's like, I can't do it. Like, Jake literally was too messed up to fall down. So Yoko's like, whatever. So he jerks this geek up on his shoulders, falls down in the big Samoan drop, thus ends the match and possibly the life of Uncle Fester. The end. No DDT. This was the most ridiculously abysmal match I've ever seen in my life. The show goes off the air, mercifully, but they have to cut to black first. With just seconds remaining, Jake gets the snake out, and he's going to put it on Uncle Fester. However, the cameraman, who has not got a shot all night, randomly shooting people in the crowd, mercifully he's doing this again, but he gets Jake long enough to have Jake pointing at his crotch, pointing to the snake, and he seems to be suggesting he's about to fornicate with the snake in the ring. They go to black. I swear, they go to black, because somebody, I'm sure, is shouting at this poor goofball cameraman, go to black, go to black, go to black. I do not know, I cannot report whether or not Jake fornicated with a python in the middle of the ring in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, but that appeared to be where it was headed. The end of Fat Guys Fight 1999, a.k.a. the Heroes of Wrestling. If these are your heroes, God bless you. 46.
The cat is backstage walking in her snow bunny costume.
Mm-hmm.
And then the new competitor, her rival tonight, Harvina, walking in a snow bunny costume, which is just like a snowsuit.
Yes.
So they built up a little pen here, and they shoveled in a bunch of snow, and they had a match in it. And the cat's out there in her thong bikini with bunny tails.
She had an incredible tan.
Yes,
I must give her that. That's literally that in her outfit.
Mm-hmm. Which showed off the tan.
Are the only good thing. This was, I'm not even exaggerating here, okay? This was a worst segment of all time contender.
Yes. Yep.
I'm not talking like the worst segment of the week or the worst segment of the year or the worst segment of the Attitude Era. I'm talking of all time.
It was really horrible.
Harvey Whippleman in drag against the cat in a snow match.
And the car,
They're in the snow.
But they couldn't do anything in a ring anyway. But now they're in a pile of snow.
Fucking nothing looks good. They're slipping. They're falling. Yeah. It's for the title, by the way.
Yeah.
The other women at ringside are so into this, they're just throwing snowballs at each other.
Yep. And as bad as this is, Jackie punches the cat.
Mm-hmm.
We think.
As far as we can tell.
Because they fucking don't even get it on camera.
Nope. No.
All of a sudden, the cat's just laying in the snow. And Harvey Whippleman in drag pins her, and he is announced as the new women's champion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So that already is a worst segment of all time contender. You know who makes it worse?
Is it Michael Cole?
This asshole, Michael Cole, gets in the ring, and he, like, I wanted to reach through the television and wring his neck. He's the most annoying human being on the face of the planet. He thinks this is so funny. But it's the fake funny. He's fake laughing.
Yes.
He's fake talking about how funny this is. But we're supposed to think that he really thinks it's funny. He interviews Harvey. Harvey speaks in his gravelly voice. Michael Cole, the light bulb goes off over his head. I know your voice. You're Harvey Whippleman. Then something happens. I guess he got shoved down.
The wig comes off.
The wig comes off. Cole's laughing. Ha ha ha! It's so funny! You think this is funny? Yes! I think this is hilarious! I hated this. I hated this so much I almost quit. I almost quit the show.
It was fucking terrible.
No, Vinny. I need more.
Well, here's what I wrote here. This was the absolute zero of pro wrestling.
Yes. A little better.
Thank you.
Did you have to take a walk?
I did not have to take a walk.
I damn near had to take a walk.
It was too short for me to have to take a walk. But yes, this is it. Like, in every single way, a pro wrestling segment can be horrible. This achieved it. Did you mention Michael Cole's cutting question? when he goes to interview the new champion. Harvina, the mystery competitor, is there holding up her new belt. And Michael Cole asks, where are you from and what do you do? Mm-hmm. What do you do? She's a dishwasher, Michael.
Well, I mean,
she works at a bowling alley.
She hadn't been a wrestler before, so maybe she had worked at a bowling alley.
Sure.
You know, I'm sure Michael Cole is a wonderful human being.
Why do you always say that?
I'm glad of all of the people that he's hired, like Nigel McGuinness, and given them jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard that Bruce Prichard apparently said that we're all going to miss Michael Cole when he's no longer doing commentary,
when
I fucking virtually vomited. Like,
wait a second.
How many WWE shows is he not doing commentary on now?
Wait,
half of them?
Wait a second. When I'm watching NXT, I miss Michael Cole?
See, he's an idiot. That's the thing. No one's going to fucking miss Michael Cole.
No.
Nobody, okay? There's a bunch of shows that he doesn't do.
They're better.
Nobody has ever said, if only Michael Cole was on this show. Never.
When I'm watching New Japan World...
Fuck that. I'm talking any of the other WWE shows that he's not on. Has anyone ever on SmackDown said, you know, this show would be fucking better mm-hmm. if Michael Cole were here?
Right.
That's what this show is missing, is Michael Cole.
I like 205
No one's
Live.
Ever
but if
said
Michael
that.
Michael Cole is calling, it would be better.
If Michael Cole were here calling NXT, the show would surely be the show of the year. No one's ever said that, ever, in the history of mankind. Yeah, people have said, man, if only JR were back. Or boy, do I miss JR.
Absolutely.
Or man, I look back at the 90s and JR was fucking unbelievable. I hear that shit every day. No one even looks back and goes, man, look at how great Michael Cole was in the 90s. There's no period ever where anybody has said, boy, look at how great Michael Cole is. How the fuck with a straight face can you say, when Michael Cole's no longer doing commentary, you will miss him?
Mm.
How can you fucking say that? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I can do a poll, like, is Sasha a babyface or a heel? It'll be 50-50,
right.
Okay? I can ask a million fucking questions, all right? And I'm going to get some sort of split response.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, what was the best match of the Royal Rumble? What was better, the Becky-Asuka match or the Sasha-Ronda match? You're going to get varying opinions. Who the fuck has ever said Michael Cole... he will be missed when he is no longer doing commentary. No one ever, except apparently Bruce Prichard. Just wanted to get that out.
You feel better?
All right.
I feel a little better.
Okay.
I just could not even fucking believe my ears. Not like, no way. Right?
Along with you.
Fuck.
Preach from the choir, man.
I mean, I've said some stupid things before, okay?
You should start a newsletter.
But I'm pretty sure the dumbest thing I've ever said, at least one person agreed with, okay? This, none. Nobody. This is a level of insanity.
That's the weirdest flex I've ever heard.
This is a level of insanity I cannot even begin to fathom.
So Cactus Jack and the Radicals go for a walk.
I wish I could have gone with them.
45.
Well, WWE drove away 25% in a year, so not quite as bad as WCW.
That's not even
but
close to as bad.
That's very fucking bad.
That's horrible.
Even Impact didn't drive away 25% every year.
It's horrible.
Like, for
Brian,
years, they drove off none.
90% is a lot more than 25%.
I'm well aware of that.
Okay.
I'm just pointing out how big 25 is as well.
Yeah, it's not nearly as big as 90.
Yeah, Nitro sucked.
Raw has lost control of the cameras.
Yeah, he's so busy listening, he's not doing his fucking job.
You.
Are you awake over there? What happened?
The fucking camera's turning.
Well, this is a family show. There's no profanity.
Hey,
go ahead,
you.
Rob.
You must be cursed.
Yes.
Fucking quietly. Fuck you.
Hey, you jackass. What happened? Without swearing. Is the show still
this
going?
Camera.
Yes.
Why is that pointed at the wall?
The camera literally just started moving. I did not touch a fucking
camera.
How long have you been doing this? The camera's pointing at the wall.
Too goddamn long.
Okay, fix that camera. Jesus.
Look.
I'm taking a picture of this.
Fuck you.
I can't even believe it.
I literally did not touch a goddamn thing. It will not move. It is not moving.
It's not moving?
No. I have to reconnect it.
The best part about this is that he has not switched to another camera for the video audience.
No, I did. No, I have.
Oh, you have?
I'm on you now.
Oh.
I'm on you now.
Okay. The window I can see is just that one corner of the picture frame up here.
I hope I just sunk right into the earth and on the video as the thing started going up in the air.
Oh, God.
I'm just going to wait here.
You know Tony's on the other end just cackling.
Oh, he ain't cackling.
Okay, it's moving. It's moving.
There we go. Okay, now it's going the wrong way.
Ceiling.
No.
Towards the window. Okay. Here we go. All right.
Keep going.
Gotta.
That's the wrong way.
That's my shoulder.
Me.
That's the side of my head.
You should turn the camera on as you're
keep
turning.
Keep going. No. Me.
Look, we're totally fucked up. I'm gonna fuck it up more.
Okay, there.
There you go. Too far. Hey. Go back.
Now hold on. I gotta get everything in order now. Look.
Oh Jesus.
I've had a shitty fucking couple weeks. I don't need this from you guys.
I do. I need this badly.
This is highly entertaining, to be honest with you. But we're only doing a show for ourselves right now.
Is it on?
Okay.
It's on. There you go. Everyone's there.
All right.
Huzzah, huzzah.
Did you catch Brian flipping off the camera?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Let's not do that again, Ron.
I didn't touch a goddamn
thing. Oh, okay. I don't know.
I'm so happy.
So we're haunted?
You mentioned...
I did mention it.
They're like things have moved in this room.
But there were two options, a ghost or Rob.
What, it's a ghost of Rob?
Maybe Rob's possessed.
Well, that is a distinct possibility.
Robbie.
Hey, at least I got my first best of moment this year, so here's that.
You better hope so. I may banish it from the best of. All right, Vinny, are you ready? Where were we?
We were about to start a terrible episode of Nitro.
Yes.
Number 242, May 8th of the year 2000, when they drove away more than 25% of their crowd.
Which is less than 90.
It is much less
Which
than
is yet. Still a lot. Maybe that's why the camera went all cattywampus.
It was sick of the conversation and turned its back
it
to the room.
It rolled its eyes all the way around.
44. Hey, it's Jim Valley, and we are still in Tokyo. This is a very special Wrestling Observer Radio podcast. It may be shorter, I don't know, but we are in Shibuya. Me and Dave Meltzer, and we are here at the Tokyo department store, sort of like a Macy's, we talked about this, looking at the Giant Baba 20th Anniversary Memorial Exhibit. And Dave, we've only been here a few minutes looking at the poster so far. What are your impressions?
It's a lot of the old stuff. I remember a lot of this stuff. We're looking at pictures of, there's Baba and Andre the Giant. When they were tag team in 1990, a couple of years before Andre died. The other Kamala.
Ben Prescott? See the other
Ben
one?
Peacock.
Ben Peacock,
yeah.
This one I'm familiar with. This one I've seen before.
Certainly worn out.
Or at least a version
now,
of it.
So what are all these?
I'm guessing, so we're looking at boards, and I'm guessing these are visitors who have signed.
Visitors who signed, yeah. So it's mostly in Japanese, you know, from people who say they love Baba. And,
yeah.
Baba, we know Baba.
Okay.
You know. I met in Las Vegas. And in Las Vegas, Tokyo, and Honolulu.
Dave is making friends with people.
Yeah, so you all watched him when you were young.
No, I'm 75.
75. But
yes.
When you watched him, you were a lot younger than you are.
Yeah. He's a wrestling expert.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very, 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 very famous.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He knows much history.
Yeah.
Ricky Dozan, Baba.
Ricky Dozan.
Yes.
Did you see Ricky Dozan?
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
At that time, I was very young.
Yes.
Well, you were very young watching Ricky Dozan, yeah.
What do you remember about Giant Baba?
Yeah?
What's your most memory of Baba?
Yeah, he's playing the baseball in Giants.
Yeah,
yes.
The Giants, right?
I'm also playing that.
You played on the Giants?
No. Baseball.
But you played
baseball.
In university.
Okay.
So I know that Baba is playing the Giants. And he retired the baseball and then to go to American, United States to study wrestling.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, he was a big star in the early 60s in the United States.
Yeah.
He wrestled three different world titles in 62, 63, Bruno Sammartino, Luthez. and
63.
And I forgot who the other one would be, but it would be Destroyer. 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 Destroyer, yes. Was the other one. Yeah, yeah.
He's a very famous in Japan.
Oh, I know Destroyer. Yeah, yeah. He's a friend of ours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Where are you living?
What?
No.
Where do I live?
Where are you living?
I live in San Jose.
Eh? San Jose.
San Jose, California.
Oh, California. I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He knows every wrestler.
No, I don't. That's not true.
Pretty close. True. Pretty close. For our purposes in this conversation, you know every wrestler.
Yeah.
But where's my train of thought going? I was going to ask you one more thing about. Oh, where did he go first? Did he go to El Paso first? Where did he go first? Or, where
Toronto,
did,
maybe. Maybe. I don't remember.
He didn't go to the Funks first?
No, that's Jumbo Tsuruta.
Okay.
Jumbo Tsuruta started his career in 72, 73 in the Amarillo territory. So he started there. Tenryu probably started in Amarillo or San Francisco, because I saw Tenryu very early on. Tenryu debuted in Japan, then he went, but Tsuruta debuted in Texas.
Texas.
And then he came to Japan as a... Tsuruta was good from day one.
It's a famous wrestler, the Fritz von Erich.
Fritz von Erich,
yeah?
And the Funk Brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You remember Fritz von Erich,
yeah,
against Giant Baba?
Yeah. I have a very long history in wrestling. It's professional wrestling.
Yeah.
I like.
Yeah.
So I remember.
You remember Baba and Fritz
from
von Erich?
From Rikidan too.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, so do you still follow it or no?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Who's your favorite?
Yeah?
Who's your favorite? Is Baba your favorite?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's very famous in Japan.
Yeah. He's a very famous.
Yeah.
Mm.
This has been fun.
Yeah.
What are your impressions of this? What are your impressions of all of this?
This is fascinating stuff. This is, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
43. You know, before when we used to hear these stories and they were passed down to us and we read about them and they were stuff of legend and you could build this image up in your head.
Yeah,
and
for a long time.
Actually, now you can actually see it just like that by looking it up on YouTube or something. And it's just like, it's great that we can do that. But it's like, now I've seen everything.
Yeah, and then it's like, then you become know-it-all, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not good. And also, guys, I'm not sure if it's good for this program, for the politically correct or anything, but what was the name of the fictitious character who doesn't pass joint in Mexico?
Oh, Romando Bear.
Romando Bear. Yeah,
he's
who
not
doesn't pass.
He's not fictitious. I mean, he was a real wrestler.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Seven guys in the room trying to smoke one joint. And try to pass it on. Pass it. Don't take double talk, right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't pass the joint? What was his name?
Rolando Vera.
Rolando fucking Vera. It's like, yeah, calling each other. Yeah. Rolando Vera. Don't do that, you know?
Yeah, Rolando Vera.
So calling each other. Yeah.
Yeah. So Fumi, when I moved to Mexico and I'm wrestling in AAA, and a lot of the same guys were around, but some of them are guys that I didn't know, like from Japan, but like we're passing the joint, and the first time I say Rolando Vera, the whole room erupted. They fucking popped. They were like,
"Oh, that's good." Also, the tradition still goes.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah, because that was like the first time I heard the word jibroni. You know, I talk about so and so and so and so. This jibroni, what's his name? Jibroni this and jibroni that. Later on, it became the Rock's word, you know. But we were hearing the word jibroni years before that.
Yep.
Remember? Yeah. Rolando Bear, I'm not going to forget that now. Yeah. It was very interesting. Yeah, because everybody was young. It's like people like, you know, young Rey Mysterio or somebody in the room. Young Juventud Guerrera was in the room. And, you know, and everybody was... Well, 20 years younger, you know? So, yeah, very interesting. I don't know if it was politically correct to bring that up, but Rolando, I'm not going to forget that now.
Just fine
now
for me.
42.
Hell in a Cell pre-show here today, even though we don't know what's on the show. We'll talk about that later. But I got to get something off my chest here very quickly. If you're a hardcore WWE supporter, blind supporter, they can do no wrong. I suggest that maybe you tune in tomorrow and just kind of shut the show off right now, because I'm just going to unleash on this company. And I'm really upset, actually. I'm upset, and I'm actually even more upset because of all of the weeks for them to pull this stuff, they have to do it on a week where AEW and NXT went head-to-head on Wednesday, and I have to listen all the time to people saying, oh, AEW, Brian, Dave, they're on the payroll, they're biased, blah, blah, blah. Can WWE do stuff like this on a week that AEW doesn't debut on Wednesday? Because if you thought I was biased before, you're really going to think I'm biased today. And you know what? In a sense, I am biased right now. Because AEW isn't jerking the fans around like WWE is. This is what happened over the last couple of days in WWE. It started on Wednesday when NXT and AEW went head-to-head. And WWE tried everything to screw with AEW. They had a two-week head start on the USA Network, which, by the way, the whole NXT on the USA Network was directly done as a result to screw with AEW. So they announced they're going to be going on Wednesdays. They do the two-week head start. Then they book a takeover caliber show with no commercials or limited commercial interruptions, and they do a 15-minute overrun. They do everything that they can think of to screw with AEW. And what happens? Well, AEW destroys them. Something like 890,000 viewers to 1.2 million or whatever the numbers were. AEW destroys them in the numbers, and they brutalize them in the demos. 18 to 34, they double. Males 12 to 34, they tripled WWE in the demos. The only demo that NXT beat AEW in was dudes over 50. That's it. Every other demo, AEW won. AEW wins the night. What does WWE do? Well, after all of these things that they did to screw with this company, they send out this goofy release that says, well, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Congratulations to AEW. The real winners are the fans. I'm sure a lot of fans read that and thought, oh, that's so cool of WWE. What a cool promotion. I vomited in my mouth. But anyway, that's beside the point. So, if you're WWE and you get brutalized in the ratings head-to-head with AEW after doing everything in your power to beat them, what would you do? What would you do as a company if that happened to you? Well, you know what I'd do? Man, I'd go out of my way to do whatever I could to try to build up some goodwill with my fans. I would try and do whatever I could to try to make those fans happy. Well, the sheer arrogance of this company, after getting smashed on Wednesday, what do they do? How do they try to give what they can give to the fans, to you, the listeners? Well, let's see. They advertised Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, and Sting on Friday Night SmackDown to all of you that wanted to watch the show or who bought tickets to go to the show, and none of them were on the show. There was no announcement of why these people weren't there. All we know is Sting was backstage, but they didn't put him on camera or out in front of the fans for 1 second. He never even appeared. The Undertaker on social media said, well, they called me and they told me that I wasn't needed. Stone Cold Steve Austin, I have no idea why the guy wasn't there. I have no idea why he wasn't there. He hasn't said why he wasn't there. They just advertised him and he wasn't there. So then they advertised 205 Live after SmackDown. 205 Live is going to air after SmackDown. Now, granted, I don't know why. I have no idea why 205 Live is on Fridays, not Wednesdays. But the point of it is, that's what they advertise. If you buy your ticket, there's going to be a 205 Live after SmackDown. If you're a fan of 205 Live, it's going to be airing on the network after SmackDown. 30 minutes into SmackDown, they just decided we ain't going to do it. So the show ended. And when everybody who wanted to see 205 Live was waiting there to see it, they were told, the show's over, go home. If you were going to tune in to see it, they didn't even give you the replay they had promised. It just didn't air. Then on the show, for all of you that are big fans of The New Day and Kofi Kingston, Kofi Kingston's title reign ended in 7 seconds. He rushed in, Brock Lesnar lifted him up, Brock Lesnar gave him an F5. Brock Lesnar pinned him there in the middle of the ring. It's over. The reign of Kofi is over. All that time that you invested in it, it was for nothing. And then, of course, we have a pay-per-view here today. And how many matches did they have going into Hell in a Cell on Friday afternoon? 3. How many did they have when SmackDown was over? 3. Later, they announced another match on Saturday. And then, like 25 minutes ago, they announced 4 more matches. We still have 3 or 4 more matches that are going to air tonight that they're not even going to tell you. Because they false advertised Steve Austin, Undertaker, and Sting because they figure, well, you're just going to buy your ticket anyway. And we're giving you a show, so you're getting your show. That's it. They advertised 205 Live. They canceled it. Why? Because they gave you a show with the big stars, and they don't need to give you that. And they know you're going to buy another ticket next time. They beat Kofi in 7 seconds. Why? Because he was portrayed as a pancake-throwing mid-carder going in. They gave him the title because he happened to get over, and they want you to know that, you know what, this whole time he was just a geek, and he's a geek now, and he's going to be a geek going forward. And if you believed in him, too bad. You're going to keep watching the show. And for this pay-per-view, they know, hey, you're going to watch the show anyway. We don't need to advertise any matches. You're just going to buy the show. You're going to watch the show. You're going to buy the network. And when it's over, you're going to watch it again. You're going to watch Raw tomorrow. You're just going to keep watching. Because you're a mark. That's what they believe. That's what they've been telling you since Friday. You're a mark. Buy your tickets. Whether we'll give you the people if we feel like it. If we don't feel like it, too bad. You're a mark. Oh, you want to watch 205 Live? You want to stay? Too bad. We're going to give it to you if you want to. If not, we're just going to cancel it because you're a mark. Oh, you were into Kofi Kingston? Well, you know what? We thought he was just a geek. You're a mark. You fell for it, and now we're telling you what, like, who the real stars are. And man, this pay-per-view, you're just going to get the pay-per-view because you're a mark. And when the pay-per-view's over, you're going to watch Raw whether you like it or not because you're a mark. That's what they told you coming off getting smashed by All Elite Wrestling. And you know why there isn't All Elite Wrestling? I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is because there's a lot of fans sick of being treated like marks, and they want something different, and they're going to support AEW because so far, AEW, not for one day, has treated the fans like a mark. So that's my speech. I'm furious. We got this match here on the show. It's Natalia versus Lacey Evans. I've seen this match 3 times. I was going to give it to you again on the pre-show to try and sell you on the show because you're a mark. So, hey, enjoy the show, everybody. I'll recap it later on tonight. Well.
Shit.
Wow. We just got started.
As important, the first word out of my mouth here would be profanity.
It's Brian Vinny's show, everybody. The Hell in a Cell pay-per-view.
Shit in a cell.
Pay-per-view recap. Everyone always gets so, I don't know if they get disappointed. They probably will today. All I heard was, oh, I can't wait to hear Brian rant about this show. I can't wait to hear him freak out about it. Dude, when it reaches this level, it's funny.
Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? And besides, if you didn't hear Observer Live today, which you probably didn't because it ran head-to-head with the pre-show, like if you actually cared enough to watch this pay-per-view, I did a 9-minute, non-stop, didn't take a breath rant about this company. This WWE. I say it with such contempt in my voice. This big long rant about how AEW beats them on Wednesday nights. And how do they respond? Do they respond like a normal company and or rational person or people and try to do the best they can for their fans? No, they don't.
They continue to torment their fans and taunt them.
Screw them.
And screw them.
Every way possible.
Violently.
They false advertise their biggest stars on Friday. They humiliate Kofi Kingston in 7 seconds to prove to you that you were an idiot for believing in that guy. They don't bother announcing a card for Hell in a Cell. They think you're a dumb mark. That's what they think about you, fans.
I've been saying this for years.
For 9 minutes, I went on and on about how they think you're such a dumb mark. and you're going to buy your tickets anyway, and you're going to watch the shows anyway, and they're going to screw you here, and they're going to screw you there, and you're just going to take it over and over again. That was before this show aired.
You're Nostradamus.
I hadn't even watched this show yet. I didn't think it could be this bad. Now, somebody on the board said, this is as bad as it gets. I thought, no. We're watching WCW 2000, people. It ain't as bad as it can get.
It can get worse than this.
It can get worse. I think it's going to get worse.
I was going to say, this may be... WCW was worse, but this may be more infuriating because this company should have learned from that company's failures.
Well, no, Vinny. The problem is Vince McMahon is still running the show, and he ain't getting any younger. That's why I'm telling you it can get worse.
You got a point.
This is Vince at 73 years old. You know he's not going to stop doing this till he's in the grave. So if we presume that, you know, he lives another 10 years... can we all stop for a second and try and imagine 83-year-old Vince McMahon putting a pay-per-view together for you?
I see your point.
It's going to be worse. It's only going to get worse every year. Every year, he's a year older. You guys realize that the XFL starts in, like, what, 5 months now?
Four, I think.
4 months from now, he's going to be doing this. And he's going to be running the XFL. And he's going to be 4 or 5 months older. It's only going to get worse. So I can only get so angry. And it really is kind of funny. I was really mad watching this show. And did I not laugh at the disqualification in the main event? Did I not laugh? I laughed.
In a way, we both did. I did not literally laugh. I laughed. Snapped.
I literally laughed. I had to tell you not to quit.
You did?
Yes.
I did not scream. I just started pointing at you with my eyes bugging out.
You did. Vinny, did you not see my tweet the other day where WWE's own social media did a poll?
That was the...
and one of the options was disqualification?
The point that I was trying to make when I pointed at you was to remind you of that poll, but I was so flabbergasted I could not even speak.
I did not need to
be reminded. I was, in fact, speechless.
I was laughing because, as always, I say something on Twitter... and crazy people act all crazy. And then I get the last laugh. You know how many people I hear on Twitter tell me, Brian, it's just a poll. Why do you take this seriously? They're not going to do a DQ. You know how many people I hear tell me that? Well, guess what, everybody? They did a disqualification. They did a DQ in a Hell in a Cell match.
They did a DQ... and a Hell of an NSL match in the main event of the show for doing something that had already been done 24 times in the very same match.
Yes. You can hit
a man.
You can hit a man. You can hit a woman with a chain. You can hit a woman with a chair. You can hit a woman with a ladder. You can hit a man with a chair. You can hit a man with a ladder. You can hit a man with a toolbox full of tools.
Brian. You can hit a man with a mallet.
You can try to impale a man with a square mallet.
But God forbid you use a hammer.
Hold on a second,
which
Vinny.
Is a fucking mallet.
Hold on a second, Vinny.
I'm going to wake up your babies.
So you're not going to wake up the babies.
Can we move the show? I feel...
well, we're talking about the whole main event now. We're getting it over with.
Okay.
Do you realize how painful it would be to impale a man with a square mallet? Think about this, Vinny. If you had the option, would you rather be skewered with a sharp sword... or a square mallet?
Well, I suppose if I must choose between those two, I would go with the sword,
this
Brian.
Referee was okay. And if you think we're joking, Dio Madden actually said he's trying to impale him.
That's the word he used. Impale.
With a giant square mallet. Okay, you can't do that. But if you did, this would be horribly painful, okay? That's okay. This referee thought that was okay. You can impale a man with a square mallet. But God forbid you get a small mallet.
A small mallet. And you hit a man in the head when he, in fact, has armor over his head to protect it, like chairs and ladders, so it's not a direct shot.
You know, I didn't think about this till right now, but what happened was a giant mallet is okay.
Yes.
But a little mallet is not okay.
Yes.
What?
That's the rule.
I just thought about
that. That's the rule, Brian. In a Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell. Folks, that happened like 25 minutes ago. He just figured it out. I'm not laughing at him. Now, Brian. Now, do you understand why? Now, Brian, do you know why we went to rant about this show? Trying to move. This camera mounted? Can I, yeah, it's.
I can't even believe.
It's my phone. Hang on.
I should live view this.
That's a video.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I'm recording, Brian.
If you stop recording, Rob, you're fired.
I would never.
I lost it. I finally snapped.
I'm actually zooming out so we can picture a video of Vinny videoing you.
I finally snapped.
Why are we sober? Years.
I'm not sure I am.
I do not. You know what? I don't feel sober. I feel alcohol is a poison, right? You take alcohol, it's a poison that causes damage to your brain, which causes the inebriated feeling. I feel poisoned.
41.
Out comes John Cena. Gives his big speech about how 20 years ago, he said. It's actually 20 about 15.
Years ago was, 20 years ago was 1998.
Yes, 15 years ago is what he should have said.
It wasn't even, what is, no, wait.
It's 2002, 2003, 2004. So we're talking 14, 15 years.
Okay, because he's talking about Brock left in 2004.
Rock was 2003.
Rock? When did Rock leave? I guess realistically 2003.
This was 15 years, yes.
Yeah, so it's 15.
So he said they all left. Vince didn't know what to do. He turned to a crew of rejects and misfits.
Who are they?
Begged someone to step up. The whole roster in 2004, apparently. Cena
really?
Said, give me a chance.
Like all those guys, like yep. Triple H and Eddie Guerrero and Shawn Michaels were yep. rejects and misfits?
Rejects and misfits, so... He stepped up.
Eddie Guerrero.
That's, I guess, why he was booed
Rey
for all
Mysterio
those years.
And the Hardys and Edge. And
yep.
All right, whatever.
Wanted a chance. And
Kurt Angle. Well, Kurt Angle ended up being rejected, but that's another issue.
40.
Well, here we are back again, and Granny is here, and she's ready to go. What's going on, Granny?
Oh, just going on my crazy contest.
You explained that you had a unique contest, I think. What'd she say? What was her exact words?
Crazy, I think.
A crazy one?
Maybe it's strange.
Yeah.
Well, and not only that, that's what somebody said.
Somebody else accused you of having a crazy contest.
Yeah. They said, this is crazy.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, get on there.
You tell us, and then Vinny will read it.
It's, they have to guess what three of my favorite sports are.
This is a contest.
Everyone.
Yeah.
If you've never tried video, Brian's reaction to that explanation is worth a month.
I know. I knew he wouldn't like it, but tough luck. I couldn't think of anything else, and I know we were talking about sports quite a bit, so I just thought we'd make a fast one.
You know, Granny, if you choose a contest that the answers are either yes or no, I mean, maybe that's an example of a bad contest. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, at least it's not numbers.
That's true. At least it's not just random numbers.
Seth Binderup says, bingo, men's synchronized swimming, only men's. Like he clarifies that. And basketball.
Oh, wow. That's way off.
Whoa.
Way off.
Say it again, Granny.
Way off. Why, did I make you deaf?
Nope.
That's his buzzer, Granny.
I got a buzzer she can't hear.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Seth Walter Mellon Marchesol.
Excuse me?
What it says. I just read it. Pro wrestling, football, and spelunking. Okay, that's the most wrong, because if you listen to the show, you know she hates wrestling. Sean Mulligan, appropriately for Manny Mulligan, says golf. Also ice skating and tennis. Joe Weaver says football, baseball, and zorbing. We can do this like 40 more times.
We got 25 more seconds.
Quinn Voigt, I'm sure I said that wrong. Horse racing. Fear Leppin. and professional wrestling. Sean A. Stewart says baseball, football, and golf. Rune Bang says chess, poker, and backgammon.
One more.
Adam Verona says poker, slot machine tournaments, and bingo.
Not one sport in that entire three guess.
I want to do one more.
Okay.
Blake Lister says cheese rolling, extreme ironing, and musical canine freestyle. And he says, yes, I looked it up. These are all actually sports.
Wow. That was a good one for a finish. I'm looking at my notes here. Oh, I'm going to have
all right, are we ready?
Never do that again.
Yes, Granny.
Okay, this is NXT tag team. Stoker and
Brom?
Stoker and Homley versus Wild Boar and Primate.
What?
Wild
Don't Boar. Go any farther.
Hold the hell on,
go
Granny.
Back.
What?
Hold on a second.
These names again.
This is NXT?
NXT UK, obviously.
Okay.
They do have a Wild Boar, I believe.
Actually, they do.
Wild Boar Hunt. And is that the same as the Primate? No.
No, a wild boar is not a primate.
Actually, this Wild Boar is a primate.
No, a Wild Boar is not.
A Wild Boar is not, but this
the wild boar is a primate. All right.
Primate, I thought, was a monkey.
Same family, yes. A monkey is a type of primate.
Okay.
You're
what did
primate.
I do wrong?
Nothing. That's the best part, is you did nothing wrong.
Oh, okay.
So a Wild Boar and Primate is like the best tag team name of all time. The Wild Boar and the Primate.
Who'd they face?
Stoker and Howley or something like that. Howley.
You're asking us?
Howley, the Primate, and the Wild Boar.
Uh-huh. And Stokely.
Stoker.
Stoker.
What's the matter with that?
Nothing. What happened in the match?
Okay. Antics on the rope, Bibles. Back flop.
Of course it starts with antics.
Neck twist. One's guy throws his partner on opponent. Head butts on and shoulder chop. German duplex. Wild Boar. Primate win. I only gave that a 3.
Oh my god.
You saw a Wild Boar and a Primate do a German duplex and only give it a 3?
Yeah.
Wow.
That must have sucked. Okay.
Now this next one says something about pink hair. These are two women. Pink hair and Homely. I didn't get their names.
God damn, she's right. Primate and Wild Boar versus Lewis Howley and Sam Stoker.
See?
God damn.
Okay.
I'll never question you again.
Let's talk about Homely.
see if you can guess.
No,
this.
She said Howley.
No, for the women's match now.
Oh, excuse me. There's a Homely.
We've left you in the dirt.
No,
in the dirt, Brian.
Sorry. Brian, listen. Yes. I said pink hair and Homely. I didn't get their names.
So you're, see,
oh, so you're describing
homely.
Them
yes.
as pink yeah. hair, and you're describing her as Homely.
Yeah, and that NXT and waist lock, vicious action, face punch, arm on rope, help by foot, drop kick, chin kick face, first on the mat for the win. And I don't even have who the win is.
I don't even know who you're talking about here because these people did not appear on this week's NXT UK. Let's not name who they are so nobody gets upset at being called Homely.
She outright said she didn't get their names. I'm not sure what I'm like better. Arm on foot, hold on rope, or I believe it was chin kick face.
Yeah, the chin kick face, Vinny.
I only gave that one a 3.
Dude, this
She's
NXT
in
UK
a mood.
Sucks.
Yes.
Okay, and then I have a one time that I didn't like Undertaker.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was beating up on some wrestler. I didn't know who it was, but he just beat the heck out of him. So then Kane came out, and the Undertaker beat him terribly, too. And so then Big Show comes out, and they both beat up on Kane.
Oh.
I was so ashamed of him.
Oh.
She's guilt tripping the Undertaker.
She ain't going to StarCast now.
Yeah, it just. Guess what I got now?
I can't even guess.
Orange Cassidy.
Oh my.
Versus David Starr.
Granny, you better not get Brian
actually,
in trouble.
Actually, this was a hell of a match.
Don't write a check. Brian's body has to cash.
This was a hell of a match. I saw this match.
He's a nice-looking guy. And a lot bigger than you, Brian.
No, he's not.
Everyone is.
He looked bigger.
Are you sure you're looking at the right guy?
Yeah. Here we go again.
Okay, well, go ahead. Tell us what happened.
Sometimes I know what I'm doing. And I hope you don't have to do the dumb thing they were doing. They were sitting down in the middle of the ring, acting like a couple of weirdos.
Sounds like wrestling.
If you think I'm sitting down in the middle of the ring and acting like a weirdo with Orange Cassidy, think again.
Okay.
That ain't happening.
And then David Starr stands there with sunglasses on, and Orange goes over and takes them off and breaks them and stomps on them and kicks them out of the ring.
You totally have them backwards, Granny.
Huh?
The red-haired skinny guy is Orange Cassidy.
You gotta be kidding me.
No.
I thought Orange Cassidy was the bigger guy, the nice-looking one.
Hey, Granny.
Was the same picture? Granny. The same picture that's on your,
Granny.
What?
Orange Cassidy. He's a red-haired fella.
That's not the picture that was on your,
Yes, that's the same guy.
And it wasn't the same pictures on your Twitter.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, but the skinny guy is Orange Cassidy.
Huh. Okay. Kick to the shin of Orange. Kick and bangs on David. Chest chop.
Are you just changing everyone's name around, or are you going to just keep telling us the wrong match?
Well, just you figure it out.
Okay. Keep going.
Kick and bang on David's chest chop. What difference does it make? They do each the same back and forth anyway. Orange thinks he's got it all. No, David thinks he's got it all won. No, Orange thinks he's got it all won, and he turns around, and his leg gives out. And so the other guy jumps on him and wins the match. So I thought the guy that you're going to wrestle is the one that won it then,
yes.
Right?
Orange Cassidy won, yes.
Oh, how could I get him that mixed up?
I have no earthly idea, to be honest with you.
I'll have to look it up after this.
Yeah.
Okay, now I have a list of five people that they think they're going to get fired after WrestleMania.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear this
I'm
list.
Hoping it's like 8 years old. Like Mr. Kennedy's on there.
I wouldn't mind if you got fired again. Go ahead, Granny.
Number one is Dana Brooke.
Possible.
And number two I had last week, No Way Jose.
I still think that's unlikely, but...
Stranger things have happened.
Well, yes. They think he's got a chance to come back. Number three is Lana, wife of Rusev.
That's not happening. Excuse me, wife of Rusak?
Rusev.
Yes.
And number four is... Oops, I can't... M-A-K-A?
Maka?
N-A? X-A? I don't know what that is.
M-A-K-A-X-A-N-A?
No, there's only four letters. M-A-K-A or N-A or X-A. Anyway, number five is EC3.
Okay, at least you got those three letters right.
Okay.
M-A...
I have no idea.
M-A-K-A. You're going to drive me fucking
comma,
crazy.
The Supreme Fighting Machine?
No, not comma. God damn it.
I got you looking. I have one more if you want me to do it.
Do it while I look through this list of names.
Okay.
Akam?
No.
A-K-A-M?
Just a minute. No, it's M. Starts with an M. M and two A's. I can't figure out what the third letter is.
Maba Maka Mata Mafa.
I'm looking at the list Maga, of names. Maha, I have Masha, absolutely Makamala. No earthly idea who this could be.
Mama. Okay.
Anyway, this is matches with only one move. want me to do it?
Yeah, please.
Review them as well.
I can't wait.
Oh, no, I'm not reviewing them. Hawkins and Siegler.
Okay.
On a drop. Siegler wins. Eric and Rock.
Eric and Rock. Actually, there was one move.
Eric Rowan and the Rock.
That did have one move. You're right.
That was big drop. 6 seconds.
Be a big drop.
Big Rock. Drop.
Rock wins that one.
Oh, and I'll update that. Yeah. Eric did not beat the Rock.
Yeah. Asuka and Natalya pulls her hair in a rope, and Natalya wins that one.
Natalya beat Asuka with one move?
And a hair pull.
Yeah.
I think that list might be wrong, but keep going.
Okay, then this was another one that I didn't get. I'll skip that. Nyda and Status on a punch. Status wins that.
Nyda and Status?
Maybe S-R-A-T-U-S?
Like Ken Nyda? Does anybody...
Nydia.
Nydia.
Nydia beat Trish Stratus?
Yeah. Stratus beat her.
Okay.
Then there is Martella and Phoenix. And it says confused, but Phoenix won it. Okay, and then the Boss Man and Rock.
How much stuff do you have today,
Ernie? I was going to say, what's going on here?
The Boss Man and Rock, and Rock won that one.
Okay.
Then there's Brooke and Asuka, 30 seconds. Asuka wins that.
Okay.
And Regal and Dudley. And Dudley wins that.
Okay.
And
history
Lamar
here.
Lamar and Jericho.
Lamar. And
I got them both circled, so I think Jericho won that.
Probably pretty good bet that Jericho beat Lamar.
Okay. And I'm doing all this crazy stuff on purpose because I'm tired of this.
Okay. Anything else, Granny?
No.
Okay. Well, hey, have a good weekend.
Okay. Oh, that's right. It's weekend coming up already.
Sure is. Yeah. Yeah. It always comes after Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told you about the hit and run that I had last week, didn't I?
No. You didn't tell me that it was a hit and run that you were involved in. You sure you want to say this on the air?
Didn't I tell you about the guy from Bingo?
I know. I don't remember the story. Do you remember the story, Vinny? Hit and run?
I don't recall.
I think I remember this story.
Yeah, him and his mom came to Bingo all the time, and he helped clean up and stuff like that. And he was out, and he was in the crosswalk, and he got hit by a car and got killed.
That sucks.
Yeah, that was weird. And then his mom was on the news on Monday night.
Remember when you asked her anything else, and she passionately said no? Like a minute ago.
What?
You never
mind. I'm very sorry to hear that, Granny. That's terrible news. We're going to wrap this segment up.
Okay, and I'll, Joshua the McDonald, get a hold of me.
Okay.
Because you won.
Okay.
Okay. I'm pooped out of my mind tonight.
Okay. Go to sleep, Granny.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
What in the hell was that?
Wait, someone died.
All right. I'm not sure I'm capable of continuing, but we're gonna do our best to barrel on.
Days may pass before I recover from that Granny segment.
That was something else. 39. Stephanie invites all the guests down to the ring. We got Shawn Michaels, who now looks like Dutch Mantell, pretending he's Shawn Michaels.
Really?
Yeah, he's got that Dutch Mantell mustache going on. This wacky entrance. Ricky Steamboat is next.
Damn, that Ricky Steamboat looks so good.
Yeah, especially when you did the chop to Seth and then Seth sold it.
Ricky Steamboat's 60. He's going to be 66.
Wow.
In a couple of days. And he's still dating like young women too. But Ricky Steamboat looks so good. I mean, Sting looks good for his age, but Ricky Steamboat looks younger than Sting.
Yeah, it's his birthday, and it's the birthday is Paisley's birthday. He'll be 65. She'll be 3.
No, 66.
Yeah, 66, you're right, yeah.
He was born in 53.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
So then Kurt Angle comes out, finally Sting. Then Hunter says, We've got a video package.
So do you realize that when Paisley was born, neither you nor I on that night realized that it was Ricky Steamboat's birthday?
That's true.
Because
I had bigger things on my mind. I won't lie.
I didn't. I was just eating dinner. Well, I mean, I didn't when I found out, but I mean, until I was just out at Outback Steakhouse. I remember I got the text from when we were at Outback Steakhouse, and everyone in the family was like so excited for you, and we never once thought about Ricky Steamboat all day, and it was his birthday.
I was witnessing a natural childbirth without drugs. The last thing on my mind was Ricky Steamboat.
Well, I'm not saying it should have been on your mind, but by the end of the day, it should have been on your mind that my daughter's born on the same day as Ricky Steamboat.
I'll think about it in a couple days here. I'll let her know.
Okay. Would she figure that? Okay.
No,
cool.
She'll have no idea. Anyway.
Well, you should just like show her tapes of Ricky Steamboat, so at least when she starts watching wrestling, okay?
That'll never happen, but just in case.
What? And I'm not saying that she wrestles herself. I'm saying when she starts watching wrestling, that she can at least start at a high level. You know, it's better to start like with Ricky Steamboat matches than like these matches on Raw. You know what I mean?
You're probably right about that. 48.
All right. Remember last
Much
week?
Like myself.
Remember last week when Harvey Whippleman won the women's title in one of the worst segments ever?
I'd already forgotten, but yes.
Well, now Jacqueline's champion.
Yeah, I don't know.
No explanation for what happened.
I have no idea.
Lost it at SmackDown one day after winning.
Wow.
Poor Harvey.
That could have been a shoot.
So Jackie beats Luna in 2 minutes with a German suplex. And then Gangrel grabs Jacqueline.
So why was Luna mad again? I'm still confused.
I have no idea. Okay. So I guess Jackie hit her at some point. So after the match, Gangrel grabs Jacqueline and hits a big DDT on her.
Yeah.
And
Is he the champion now?
I'm supposed to be appalled and outraged, but last week I saw a woman go through a table.
Yeah, this is low level.
This is
assault. Yeah.
I just saw an 80-year-old woman take an angle slam an hour ago.
Yeah.
So an active wrestler taking a DDT is minor.
Hey, how long you been watching this, Shane? These old things. I know it's been 2 years as a fan, but when did you start going back and watching this stuff?
I started probably around WrestleMania 2017, so right around then. But it's been a slow process.
But that's when you started watching the old stuff, you're saying?
Yeah, okay. The old stuff, yeah.
So, like, as a person who is watching WWE, and you saw the women's evolution and everything they do nowadays, like, what do you think going back and seeing some of this stuff with the women? They're naked.
Yeah.
People are beating the shit out of them.
I don't like it. It's weird. I don't know. Like, everybody is like, I just remember people talking about the Attitude Era and being like, it was the best wrestling ever. And, you know, it was a great period. And I'm going back and watching it. And like, as much as people don't like that, when Brian's right, you're right, dude. Like,
thank you.
When it's
a main man, Shane,
when it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, when it's The Rock, when it's Vince McMahon, it's really
Kane.
Good. Yeah, Kane, Undertaker, all those guys. And so
that's the best of moment right there.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, guys.
Hey,
you hear me?
What's happening? Yeah.
Hey, I'm expecting Raw to bury the librarian gimmick tonight.
Oh,
but,
God.
Why would they,
can we talk about JR on commentary real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
List here.
You got a list? All right.
Okay,
let's do JR.
Let's do JR. So you probably heard he said every Oriental likes to kick people in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
A little out of context.
That's not the proper term.
Right. Right.
And trust me, I know. But do you know the name of Sheamus promotion?
Right, right, true. But what I'm saying is it kind of buries every other match is going to do head kicks. You know, even Excalibur kind of laughed at him and was like, I think everybody,
okay,
you know, we were going to see a super kick party later.
All right, what's next?
But he called MJF Paul Heyman, and like Paul Heyman is in the news this week. Like, it was kind of like a plug for Raw. Like, why put over Paul Heyman? He goes,
Dude, he just said that he reminded him of a young Paul Heyman.
He's smart, he's funny.
He just said it reminded him of a young Paul Heyman.
Put him over.
Okay, all right, that's terrible. What next?
He says, don't go make a sandwich right now, right at the beginning of the Nyla match with the girls. Like,
oh
why would
God.
You even
oh, okay,
say that?
Get out of here, dude. Is this what we've sunk to? I should have just let him go, actually. I apologize, caller. I actually wanted to hear more of this. Yes, he was making fun of Nyla for being fat. Is that what we're getting at here?
I think so.
Dude.
I think that's where he was going.
Come on. Smarten up, callers. I fear going to these phones. It's live radio, baby. You're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, it's Eric from Norway again. I will try to not drag down the quality of the show like I've previously done. But, am I here?
Yeah, what's going on, dude? You're off to a rocky start.
There was no response. There was no response.
What do you want me to do?
Not there. Okay.
Okay, you're on the air. What's going on,
hello,
dude?
Would have been
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go to the phones.
Thought you were going to the phones again.
I changed my mind. All right. You're on the air. What's up? Prove me wrong. Going once.
That's what you get.
Hello?
Yeah. What's going on, dude?
Oh, hey, sorry, man. This is the first time I've called the number, so I'm usually not used to just going
first
straight
time I've used the phone.
That's what we do here on this show.
Yeah. Well, hey, I wanted to call earlier because that guy was talking about Jim Ross, you know, being racist on commentary. Well, he was implying it, is what I should say.
Yes.
And I have the transcript right in front of me, man, and I'm surprised you didn't catch this, but when Jim Ross said on commentary, me Jim Ross, me play joke.
Okay, get out of here. Are we really? So I learned my lesson. I tried, everybody. I tried.
You deserve that.
Well, I do deserve that. You know what? I pulled a WWE there.
Yeah,
this thing is failing, I'm going to keep trying it. Yeah. Well, I've learned my lesson.
Yeah.
You know what I'm doing? I'm unplugging
what?
The phone.
Do it.
There. And I lost my headphones.
Yes.
I can't even take calls if I want to anymore.
Might want to lose that shirt while you're at it, too. Is that Paisley's tank top you got on?
What are you talking about? How can you see me?
Because it's video.
I can't see you.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Where's your producer? Who do you have over there? Is Rob there?
Do you realize how distracted I would be if I was watching you the entire time?
Purely sexy.
Not to mention the jokes that I would make at your expense.
Oh, yeah, do it.
36. It's Wrestling Observer Radio. Garrett Gonzalez and Dave Meltzer here. We have a special guest today, Dale Burstein, who's the executive producer of Omega Man, a wrestling love story. Dale, how are you?
Great, and thanks so much for having me. Thanks, I'm great. I'm excited. Rachel, who you mentioned, is in the film. I don't know if it was in her Twitter thread or in one of our research discussions with her, and she, you know, she has a real fascination for them, the Golden Lovers and Coda, and I said, look, what's he like? And she's like, he's like this elf prince, you know, like there's something so magical about him. And so in my mind, you know, before I'd met him or, you know, really dug in, I was like, elf prince. Okay. I'm not really, I think I was trying to get Don Callis like once to explain, you know, who is Kota Ibushi, and you know, he's giving all these great answers, and so did you, Dave, and so did everyone, but I just kept waiting, like, you know, for somebody to say he's like an elf prince and then explain to me exactly what that means. Don Callis finally said, like, okay, I'm not saying that because I don't even know what that means, but he did say he's like, if you could create the perfect human specimen in a lab, it would be Kota Ibushi. He's just otherworldly. He's magical. And when, you know, when I, there was elements, I hope this isn't too goofy, but, you know, when you enter this almost like a subculture, I would say, of wrestling, where everyone knows their role, you know, the audiences know what they're supposed to do during the performance. The wrestlers certainly do. And everybody's part of the show, including the audience. And it really reminded me of, you know, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, like, you know, everyone's dressed in these wild costumes and these larger-than-life characters, and it's kind of sexy, and it's, you know, it's a show. And then, of course, I just thought that Coda was Rocky. I think the blonde guy that was sort of like made in the lab in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, he's always walking around in those cool shorts. And every time I had seen Coda, he's walking around in those shorts.
You mean Drago?
What's that?
Ivan Drago? Oh, Rocky Horror Picture Show. I was thinking Rocky movie. I'm sorry. I'm
no, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, Jesus
like,
Christ. I know Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like it's just, you know, and it's such a colorful, creative kind of like, you know, you can't pin it down. 35.
How much for one shot?
One shot. I want to hear sing Def Leppard.
41.
Well, that's you want to sing Def Leppard. Will you sing Def Leppard for free first?
No, I'm not singing Def Leppard.
Well, damn it.
Will you sing it for $221?
Anyway. $20, Def Leppard.
Are you getting it?
Oh, Jesus.
No, Christ. You be quiet. $40, Def Leppard.
I am now deaf.
$60, Def Leppard. God damn it.
Not singing Def Leppard.
How about one shot? Armageddon it.
You're not allowed to sing. And you're not allowed to play the fucking guitar.
Brian, try to push it for the shot.
The shot? How much for a shot? I got $221.
No. Really getting it!
Fitty, please.
Hey, Brian, I'll do a shot for $200.
No.
No! No one gives a shit about you, Rob.
That's the thing.
I mean that in the nicest way possible.
I hear this shit all the time. Like, hey, how much you make for that fight? I made, you know, $25,000.
I got a pea suit.
I'd fight somebody for $25,000. It's like,
no, you wouldn't.
But no one gives a shit.
Well, yeah, no one pays the
point. Exactly. Yeah. You're not filthy Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, I won't peer pressure you for a second, Lance. I'm going to open this present. Look at my power.
What?
I just tore this open like a fucking caveman.
You're gonna be a powerhouse in the bottom.
Did you see me open it up and then hand it to
That's what I thought happened.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Tore cardboard with his bare hands.
Yes!
Wow.
Jesus, my ears.
What do you got, buddy?
We got.
There it is. There
is this the nitro cologne?
I knew it was coming.
Is this the nitro cologne?
It's gonna smell like nitro.
It's for men. Do they have nitro for women?
It smells of like nitro.
It's just for men.
With the poop emoji pillow.
It smells of failure.
Do you know this hasn't been opened? So, like, if I don't open this, it's like, going to be more valuable than the
mint in box nitro cologne.
Yeah,
should I put it on me?
Yes!
I heard they sold it at the Gold Club in Atlanta.
My wife would get really mad if I said, like, should I go seduce my wife? But, like, should I?
Go seduce your wife with nitro
cologne.
In your drunken state? I'd like to see this,
She'd be mad if you seduce someone else, I would think.
Dude, when she saw this Christmas hat.
Yeah.
Did you have
and a shirt?
Shirt
have I opened?
Yeah.
I can do another button and spray the cologne.
Oh, Christ.
Well, who has not? In.
She's like, this is what older
people Oh, hello,
like.
Oh, Granny.
Hey,
what
a perfect time.
Hey, Whitney, come here a second.
She needs a place to sit pretty quick.
Here.
There's a chair right over
right
here.
There. You can sit where
you need a mic? I'll
give
put her on my
give
phone.
Her Craig's chair.
She's
Whitney, come here a second.
Okay, hold on. Let me just
Okay.
Granny.
No, give her Craig's seat.
She's not going to be able to get out of the seat. I'm telling you.
She'll get out of the seat, you geek.
Just sit right here. You can use my microphone.
There's no camera there.
Okay, just let her sit there for a second.
Yes. Are you okay, Granny? I'm going to move my mic into Granny's lap.
All the way from the car up to here.
That's pretty good.
It's a little heavy. I can hold it. Is that okay?
Oh, my God.
I want to come over and sit for a while.
Okay, you come over here. I'll help you up into my seat.
My love.
How are you? Actually, Whitney, this is important. I'll help Granny. You go over to Brian.
Yeah, come here a second.
It's a very important.
Yeah. No. I want you to come smell me and let me know if you want to seduce me right now.
Sniff this poor guy.
Seriously.
Please.
Just smell me, though. You don't have to seduce me. Just smell me and tell me if it smells good.
You said you were going
to
seduce her.
I guess it would be the other way around, wouldn't it? Just tell me what this smells like.
Well, I'm sorry you had that dream.
First question to ask.
Granny had a dream that I was rude.
That's not a dream.
I can't believe that in the slightest.
I've seen it in person, actually.
Well, while I'm getting this
I put on cologne.
You smell like Craig.
Guilty as charged.
Wait a second. What are you saying? What are you trying to say?
I've been wearing that WCW Nitro for Men cologne for years.
That's what you've been wearing in this fucking room for all these years, is Nitro cologne?
It's usually Gucci, but thank you.
Look at this, love. This is Nitro for Men. This is $130 on fucking eBay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it was 150. But
start thinking of another name for a second baby.
I thought it was Jacardo.
Wow.
Because clearly.
I'm suggesting Vince.
Bye, Whitney.
I love you.
I'd go with Maestro.
She slammed that door hard.
Okay. Hey, Granny's here, everybody.
Hi, Granny.
I'm ready to take over.
Do we have a booster
Thank
seat?
Thank God.
The party's getting dull.
34.
Never, Tom, have you and I been more of a team than we are right now at this very moment.
People don't even know. They'll never get it.
They'll never understand. We are a unit, Tom. And coming up in just a few weeks, the unit of me and you are going to beat the holy living hell. If people only knew what you had said about Antonio the Promise Thomas.
You know what I hate more than anything, Brian?
Thomas Santel before we went on the air. What do you hate more than anything else, Tom? Besides Raw.
I hate people who waste my fucking time.
Oh, man.
I hate people who make me wait around. They tell me something's going to happen, and then it doesn't end up happening.
Oh, the worst.
Yeah. I could have been doing anything else with my time. But instead, I sat and I waited around, Brian. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. The fans out there, the listeners, they don't. But I assure you, you will see it in its physical form when we beat the ever-living hell out of Thomas Santel.
Damn straight.
Whoever he can find. There's not a damn soul on the planet in Beyond's locker room that can beat me, that could get a win over me at American Rana. No way in hell. There's no one there.
Hey,
whoever you want.
Is Joey Janela available or Enzo? I heard they had the worst fist fight in history. Maybe one of them could team up with Thomas Santel.
I don't know.
I think that's why. What's coming. That's the angle for Seth. That's the angle for Becky. That's now the angle for Alexa. I mean, what? Can you pay attention? What are you looking at over there?
I'm on assignment.
Oh, you yeah? Know it.
You know I am. Yeah. Yeah. You ever watch that Beyond show? I'm starting to get distracted. That's what I was distracted by.
What's going on over there?
There's a woman's match on.
So you want me to watch it to see a woman's match?
Well,
I think Jordan Grace is going to be his partner.
No.
Which one are you talking about? The one last week?
Well, did you ever watch that one last week?
No,
There's a graphic of us that just showed up on Beyond, actually. That's why.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it a good picture of me or one of the shitty ones?
Oh, my God. Well, I don't know. You look like you haven't eaten a carb in 3 years.
Oh, get out of here, you fucker.
Kind of drawn out. So they showed a picture of us, and then it was Santel and the mystery, the guy. It's Vacant, I think. I've seen him on Twitter.
Oh, that's his partner, Vacant?
He's got quite the resume. Yeah, he's been champion.
He's been a multi-time champion. I think that Thomas's partner should be Vacant. It's a good idea. No, I didn't watch it yet. It's on my list.
I don't know who the hell these guys are. Their face. Oh, is this Milk Chocolate, maybe? I think I've seen them before. Anyways, so you never watched
that show? Are you watching the show now?
Yes. Yes, that's why I was distracted. There was a women's match between Solo Darling and Alexia Nicole that I was watching. Sorry.
Peyton and Billy, Byron Saxton called it an incredible victory. What? So, yeah. Incredible victory. Are you paying attention now?
Yeah.
Should I say my joke again?
Once.
What are you distracted by?
Santel's out there now. He's got a partner right now.
So what?
I don't know if that's who the partner is, but...
Who is it?
Well, he just ate a dive. So
they're having a match?
Yeah, they're getting beat anyways.
Who cares?
Okay. Xavier says Brian comes... Oh, shit. They won.
Okay. Formidable opponent.
We probably shouldn't... I probably shouldn't even tell you who it is.
Who gives a shit who it is?
Okay, did you watch... Recap this segment. I gotta watch this.
All right, so, first off, I wanted to mention that for some reason, which I cannot explain, hopefully the listeners can explain this to me. I'm getting kind of nervous, Tom. Why? What are you not telling me here? What are you watching?
I'm watching Beyond. Just keep going. Keep going.
Well, now I'm all weirded
just
out
keep going.
Now.
Recap.
Dude.
Recap the fucking
It's like somebody texting me and saying, hey, there's a big emergency. Call me after the show. It's like, fuck, I'm not going to call you after the show. I want to know what's going on now.
Okay, just go. Just keep... Okay. So, New Day coming to the ring. Have
well, hold on. Okay. Everything's fine?
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, I want to know why... what's with this who's your daddy thing at Rowan? Why is Rowan mad about that? Does he not have a dad? I can't even deliver my lines right now. What's happening over there?
Oh, my God. I think he's got a partner.
Okay. Fuck. Dude, what's happening?
All right, Brian, you ready? You want to know who his partner is? You want to know who fucking Thomas Santel got?
This is partner for the match that we're having. Okay.
Yeah. It appears that way, I would imagine, after what I just saw.
Okay.
Fucking Nick Gage. Nick fucking Gage.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. You gotta wrestle Nick Gage. That's what I'm talking about.
What?
Yeah. I'll be there. I'm gonna be there for you, buddy.
Why is Nick Gage his partner?
I don't know.
I thought Nick Gage was like stalking him. Right? Wasn't he doing matches and Nick Gage was like lurking around ringside?
Yeah, well, apparently they're buddies now. Would you like to... Do you want me to call Whitney?
Do not! No. That's his partner?
Yeah.
Are you fucking with me? Or what's the story here?
That's it. Past few weeks, they've been buddy-buddy. I've been asking her to watch.
Why the fuck didn't you tell me this?
I didn't think they'd get along.
Why didn't you tell me this?
I didn't think they were going
to
get along.
I had to fucking watch it. You couldn't just tell me? It could be Nick Gage. Thomas Santel and Nick Gage?
Yes.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No. I've already lost to Nick Gage. I lost to him last year at American Rana. He found the one guy that could beat me already in a tag match.
And you already signed this
contract. You signed this contract on my behalf? I was tagging with Matt Riddle. And I lost to a team that Nick Gage was on.
And you signed that contract on my behalf.
Well, you agreed.
No, I didn't fucking agree to have Nick Gage be his partner.
Well.
What are the chances that it's not his partner?
Boy, I don't know.
I mean,
I'd say zero, but...
Zero?
Based on what I just saw...
Did they hug?
They were definitely buddies.
Fuck, Tom. Dude. You better not get hurt in that fucking Fatu match.
Oh, God.
Tom, you better not get hurt in that fucking Fatu match.
Don't be worried about Fatu.
I'm not worried about Fatu. I'm worried about you.
Okay.
You promise you're going to be there on that day?
Yes.
Even if you get hurt, you're going to be there.
Yes, I'll be there. Foxwoods.
Fuck, dude.
American Rana 2019.
All my jokes for this fucking SmackDown are out the window now.
Well, Otis is coming. So there you go. Xavier Woods, Otis, and Daniel Bryan had a match. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, you keep going.
Okay.
You're in charge of this fucking thing now.
Oh, yeah? Well, look what happened when you just left me in charge.
That's my point.
They all argue. Referee Mike Chioda boots them out of ringside as Tom Phillips tells us they must reset the match.
This match is in 18 days.
They must reset the match. What?
It's 18 days.
Yes.
I've been fucking around on the beach. I cannot believe. Yeah, Otis is cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going here.
Yeah, let's just think happy thoughts for the rest of your time on this planet.
For my next 18 days.
Yes. And is pinned. 1, 2, 3. Which you could only hope would be your fate.
2005, Nick Gage, arrested for possession of stolen property. He pleaded guilty and paid a $250 fine. On December 30, this is 2010, New Jersey authorities announced they were seeking Nick Gage for allegedly robbing a PNC bank in Collingswood, New Jersey on December 22nd. During the robbery,
Nick Gage handed a note to a female employee at the bank demanding money and got approximately $3,000. They went to Atlantic City to gamble. He surrendered to authorities, pleaded guilty to second-degree robbery, sentenced to 5 years in prison.
He better not find out your rate.
Oh. Oh. He violated his parole and was reincarcerated in 2015. Released again in November of 2016. Are you kidding me? Let's finish this show. I got shit I gotta do.
Like what? Write a will?
Drugs. Tom is currently in and around the Massachusetts area right now, I believe.
Yeah, because I was in the hospital.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Injury sustained on Sunday at Foxwoods.
Really? What happened? I didn't hear about this.
Broken heart.
Oh, get out of here. Dude. Well, may as well not sugarcoat it. We failed. We fucking failed and lost to Thomas Santel and Nick Gage on Sunday night. American Run in 19, replay available if you want to watch my suffering.
2019.
Yeah, independentwrestling.tv. Dude, we did the best we could. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I did pretty good. I mean, let's not lie. I had a valiant effort in there. Some of my maneuvers connected. We held Thomas Santel back. We laid a beating on him for a good portion of the evening. But, well, you failed to cause any damage to Nick Gage.
Yeah.
And I made sure you didn't die.
You did. I do appreciate, Tom. I'm not going to blame you. Not going to blame anybody. Not going to make excuses here. You told me that you were going to make sure that I didn't die. And, I mean, I didn't die. I've been better. I've been a lot better. I've been better nearly every moment of my life than I am right now. But I didn't die.
I didn't say I was going to protect your neck.
Yeah. So, I failed. My super kicks, useless. Three fucking super kicks. That guy didn't sell one of them. Did you see the photos that were put up on the internet?
Yeah, you drilled him.
Oh, my fucking God. Like, my foot is inside his neck. You see all the skin on his body, like, molding around my foot. I kicked that fucking guy so hard, and he fucking stood there and grabbed me and killed me. Like, I'm not going to make an excuse or anything like that, and if anything, like, it's patently obvious my super kick doesn't work anymore. But, I mean, that fucking guy was a superhuman there. You know what I'm saying?
I'm pretty sure that you kicked him in a portion of his face where the teeth are missing, so it had little to no effect.
Hmm. Yeah. He choke broke me. What's the name of that move? Choke breaker? He choke broke me. And then they double stuff, pile drove my ass into the mat.
Yeah, that sounds a lot worse than it was.
What are you talking about? Worse than it was?
Repeat that sentence once more.
Because you're looking at the closed captioning on your mom's phone. They double stuff pile drove my ass into the mat. I guess that kind of does, but apparently I was told that after the match, Thomas Santel was like asking me questions as I laid on the mat. I don't remember any of that. I was out. And then the next thing I remember, I swear to God, you carried me, I don't even know where, but you like carried me back to where you go into the building with the metal detectors.
Yeah, I was getting away from Gage and Santel.
Yeah.
I was getting the opposite direction. I wanted to get away from them. I wanted to take you as far as possible away from them, get you back to your pregnant wife and unborn child as quickly as I could.
And what was the first thing that we saw when we got to those metal detectors?
I put you on the ground. I look over. I pick up the security wand. And what was the name on that wand? None other than Numero Uno himself, Garrett.
This is not a joke, everybody. That's what was on the wand. It said Garrett right there in big yellow letters. I swear to God, my last memory in the ring was I was upside down, and I was looking at Santel, who was also upside down, because I was upside down, I saw him leap into the air, and then it was like the Death Star exploded. It was just all black, and just like shit blew up in my brain. And then, next thing I remember, there's a fucking wand in front of me that says, Garrett!
Are you sure Nick Gage didn't slip you something before the match?
I wish he had.
I'm looking at it right now, the Garrett Metal Detectors, Garrett.com.
Yeah.
Super wand.
Yep, that's literally the first thing that I woke up
detects,
to.
Hold on. It detects ferrous, non-ferrous, and stainless steel weapons, contraband, and other metal objects.
Well, nothing went off on me.
Very sensitive to tools. So maybe that's why it was close to you.
Oh, how dare you. Well, Tom, I mean, what's next?
I'm going to defend my AIW absolute title on Friday because I can rely on myself to do so against Eddie Kingston.
Oh.
The Mad King. Yeah, I got Nick Gage and Eddie Kingston in 1 week.
Yeah. Good luck with that, dude.
Come on.
I've been thinking about things, Tom, and I don't know where we go from here, to be honest with you. I mean,
I made a big time mistake, to be fair. In our post-match interview, and I actually think that you should play Thomas Santella and Nick Gage's post-match interview here on the air.
See if I can find it.
I can listen to it ad nauseum. I mentioned that, you know, if you could hook me up with Semper Vivi's spot, maybe. Maybe I should ask for your spot.
Who's that over there?
I'm getting the fucking family run in here.
Let's see if I can find this interview.
Work it.
All right. You want to listen to this, everybody? Let's listen to it. Here we go.
Yeah. They said I didn't have a partner.
Yeah, we got one now.
Thomas Santel. Hi, how are you? Nick Gage.
I'm doing great. We're doing great.
We're doing excellent.
Yeah.
Why we're doing excellent is because we went out there and beat the shit out of them two motherfuckers. You, Brian Alvarez, you have no business being in a ring, especially with a guy like me. Go back to writing your columns and stay out of my wrestling ring or you're going to get hurt.
You guys said I didn't have a partner. You said I have no friends. Well, I found myself a partner and I got myself a friend, if even just for tonight. Because we got the job done. You guys laughed, but we're the ones getting the last laugh now.
The last laugh thing again, huh? Listen, I'm trying real hard to be partners with this guy. He says some stupid ass shit I don't like. He takes his fucking thing off, has a t-shirt on in the ring. We got to talk about that partner. But what I do like about my partner is his fighting spirit, okay? His never say die attitude. Won't quit in that ring. I roll with people like that. So me and my partner, the fucking nerd, NDK?
NDK.
NDK. NDK. We're coming for any tag team in this fucking company. I want them straps. We're coming for gold, man.
Yes, we are.
We're coming for gold. And anybody got a problem with me or my partner, come see me and we will fuck you up. Well, I'll fuck you up. I don't know what this guy's going to do, but I'm going to fuck you up.
I'll kick your butt. But yeah, he's going to bleep you up, too. So.
Thank you.
Don't laugh at him. Every time you laugh, it's like stupid shit.
Yay. Well, there you go. He threatened me. He threatened to kick my ass after he'd already kicked my ass.
I'll never forget the first interaction between you two. Never forget in the ring when he looks at you and he goes, "You're a punk ass. You ain't gonna do shit. I'm gonna bust your ass, motherfucker."
Yeah. I mean, seriously, didn't they say in the meeting before the show not to do any profanity? I mean, at the very least, he should be fined for all of this.
Oh, he should be disqualified for profanity. Are you kidding me? There was also a no-spitting rule, and I'm pretty sure just by virtue of him talking, he violated that rule.
Yeah, and he blew snot all over me after the match. I mean, that's got to be worse than spit, right?
Oh, call up Denver, Colorado. I mean, come on. If they can afford to get their own live event venue
surely they can lay down the hammer on old Nick Gage there. 33.
Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, Brian. Hey, Mike. How's it going?
What's up?
It's going.
It's Edward from Morro Bay again from yesterday. I actually wasn't going to call, but after the call yesterday, I was blasting Nine Inch Nails, and then I realized I completely forgot what my second question was going to be, so I have it written down right here, and let me put that forward for your consideration.
What Nine Inch Nails song were you blaring?
Yeah, why were you blaring a song during your call?
I'm saying after the call, I was blasting Nine Inch Nails, and then halfway through Downward Spiral, I was like, crap, I forgot my second question. So I wrote it down.
All right, what
on
is
my
it?
Phone here.
Great album.
Let me read it here. Okay. With XFL going live next year, and with WWE kind of incorporating the reality into the pseudo fiction of Vince McMahon, you know, being out of touch and making changes and whatever. Do you guys think that potentially down the road, this could lead to a sort of WrestleMania 16 type of situation where, say, Triple H picks a guy, Vince picks a guy, and the stipulation is if Triple H's guy wins, he takes over the company as a way of to both
no.
transition Triple H into the... Oh, okay, never no. mind.
All right, let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Tim in Miami. Guys, I was not going to call today, but I was down in my parents' basement. I was rocking out about halfway through Paula Abdul's Forever Your Girl album, and I realized I had a question.
Yes.
So I was reading Mike the laughed. Observer.
Remember your second question?
To be over. No, I'm going to listen to the rest of the album, and then I will write it down and read it to you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate the call.
Tim's got a podcast, you know.